Welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. We're the podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss LGBTQ plus history. This is Thomas.
Chris.
Dusty.
And yeah, we're going to do a podcast this week where we talk about Pedro Pascal and Sandy Dennis.
Not together, but like separately. They're not related.
I don't know either one of those people.
Well, then you're going to learn tonight. Not on tonight.
Tonight. Wow, look at
Isn't that a song? I've only got tonight. I don't know. I don't do musicals. I'm not
gay. Is that West Side Story?
Girl, I don't fucking know.
Well, now I gotta know. The West Side Story.
Not a musical person.
Sad.
Why?
What kind of gay are you then if you're not a musical person?
I'm a jock kind. Gay and go to the gym.
Oh, I think you said junk gay.
You think I'm on meth? Junkie. Woo! Junkie. Look at these veins.
Hey, you know what? Don't give your dogs junk food. Give them wonderful dog treats called baked bones. If you have a puppy, a doggy, a fur baby, a dog, an animal that goes grrr. Show them some love with some baked bones dog treats. These aren't just any treats. They are specially baked bones. They have CBD, which is great because CBD has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety in both humans and dogs. So thankfully, Baked Bones has your dog covered with delicious treats that your dog will surely love. Made from organic, human-grade ingredients and full-spectrum hemp oil, their bones may offer some relief to your anxious pup. You can check out BakedBones.com for more information on CBD for dogs and the other benefits it may provide. Baked Bones offers free shipping on all orders over $25, and you can save 15% using promo code GAYSTUFF15. That's right. GAYSTUFF15. Baked Bones is LGBTQ plus owned and operated and is based in Houston, Texas.
Oh, Baked Bones. Did not get the cues.
Baked Bones is now available in Man Ready Mercantile, based in Houston and Austin. Baked Bones proudly donates 10% of all of its profits to no-kill shelters in the U.S. Baked Bones, baked dogs happy.
Woof.
You didn't get the cue because I actually read it correctly for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing what just, you know.
The cue cards.
Yeah.
Whenever they're actually ready. They're like, keep up. Where are my backup singers?
Oh,
That's a good one, right? Good reference.
Well, what are you all up to? What's going on? What's happening?
Almost spring break.
So, yes.
Oh, yeah. One more day. That's exciting.
Yeah. And tomorrow we're doing an academic showcase, which is like all the
extravaganza.
The stuff that we did today with the judges. The parents get to come tomorrow, and we're telling them, hey, ADA time. Well, okay, not officially. We're saying, hey, this thing ends at 10:30. If you would like to take your children at 10:30, it would be really great for you to take your children at 10:30.
Because we have to turn in attendance
at night.
10:30, we do 9:30.
Well, yeah, because we don't start until 8:30, so we get 2 hours.
10:30? What do y'all? We get these notes all the time for the girls. I'm like, what the hell these teachers do?
we don't do nothing.
It's our see. Technically, yours. It's because we get credit for them being there. That's what it is. We get credit for them being there.
It's two hours after your start time, I believe.
Before
Oh yeah, because mine's 9:30. Right.
Okay. Christmas break. Spring break and last day of school. It's like you get a message like home. You can take your kids early. It's 10:30. Like, why would? I mean, we just dropped them off.
Yeah. Why would we want them back?
I don't want them. Well, that's what I was like, if you'd like to take them, I framed it as because we can't outright say. Like, they have to be here. It was like, after this thing is over, they have to come back to the classroom, and then you're welcome to, you know, check them out with the office if you want to. Like, oh, no big deal.
Do we know what that means?
No, that's fine.
We got teacher friends. We know. Yeah,
exactly. We're telling you on the air right now.
Take them home.
We're doing it live. Take them home. Because we don't want them.
Keep them.
That's what, like,
but more often than not, it's...
The other teachers have told me that after this event, normally there's, like, less than half the class. I'm like...
Yeah,
Who's taking their kids? Which sounds
great, but then you have the rest of the day with such a small number. You can't do anything because most of them aren't there. You can't do anything because you're going on break. It actually ends up being quite long and boring sometimes.
What do you do with that? What do you, I mean, like, I don't know.
Well, my work cycle ends at 11:30, so I have an hour there, and then I go to lunch, then they come back for 30 minutes, and then they go to ancillary and recess, and then we have an hour, and I'm like... That didn't sound
too
bad.
That's kind of my schedule.
That's true. So, not too much time with them. That's, 2 hours total? Then I'm like, Maybe we'll do extra Reese's. Who fucking knows?
Wow. Glad our tax dollars are going to the time well spent.
Hard working.
Just kidding. I support teachers. I know y'all work really hard and are influencing our kids, hopefully in a good way. Just kidding. Things are that aren't influencing our children in a good way. Republicans?
True.
Targeting trans kids? True. Still. Passed a law, and we got a law, in West Virginia? The law was passed, Save Women's Sports Act. This was actually passed in 2021, and so they're asking their state, they're actually asking the Supreme Court to say, hey, let us enact this ban on transgender athletes from participating in girls' sports. So they're targeting trans women from participating in girls' sports. So that seems productive.
Maybe.
Not productive.
No.
You know, because they, if a female is a person whose biological sex is determined at birth as female, and they are resolute, they say, and these Republicans say, in protecting opportunities for women and girls in sports, because when biological males win in a women's event, as has happened time and time again, you know, all the time, right?
All the time.
Because there's so many trans women out there playing sports, and then there's so many of them winning, you know, female athletes lose their opportunity to shine, which is such BS, because how much funding are you providing to women's sports, girls' sports?
That's the only time they care about women's sports.
And they don't even care. They don't even care about that, because, I mean, how many times have we had U.S. soccer on major headlines? The men's soccer team gets plane rides for free everywhere. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year. The women's soccer players get, $40,000 a year, and they have to pay for their flights to different places? And they're the only team that has won championships.
Yeah. Well, I think they're on parity now because...
After that.
Because of Megan Rapinoe. Mm-hmm. You don't see this West Virginia politicians providing support to women's sports in high school and middle school. Do you? I mean, no. I doubt it.
No.
Mentoring programs for women in sports, scholarships for women in sports. Look, okay, you can fact check me because maybe there's some money, but I doubt it. Because
not
you
enough
don't
to make
that.
A big enough impact.
Yeah, not to put the two men and women's sports on equal footing. So I don't buy it. This law was passed in 2021, and then there was a trans girl who challenged the law, and so that's why it's sitting in the courts right now. And hopefully she'll win. But you know, you've got it's in West Virginia, and you've got the Republicans clearly in control in West Virginia, and they're trying to take this court to the Supreme Court, which is conservative,
and not only that, but Bible thumpers too.
So now, that said, in 2020, right, the Supreme Court did rule that in Bostock v. Clayton, that ruling that they did rule in favor of transgender rights. So maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
That's literally all that our lives are currently. It's like, hey, will we have rights tomorrow when we wake up? We'll see.
Never know. Where to move, where to look for.
Exactly. Where not to move, though.
In other transgender, anti-transgender news, our good friend Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, ally to the community.
Always an ally.
Kidding. She's not. She signed a bill into law that would criminalize transgender people using restrooms that match their gender identity. So this is a law that she will support.
I have many problems with these laws, but the other problems that I have with these laws is, how the fuck do they know?
That's what I was going to say. How are you enforcing this? Is someone going to stand there all the time?
Exactly. And not only just stand there, but like...
And then like, are you going to follow them in? How do you prove that?
A trans woman goes into a stall, because a women's bathroom only has stalls, are you looking over and be like, hey, you got a penis? Because at that point, you're the pervert.
You're the criminal. So that's... Okay. That's, I would wonder that.
Yeah, I should probably restate this, okay. That it hasn't been passed yet, but it's been passed by the Senate in Arkansas by a vote of 19-7. So it's going to the Arkansas House, which is majority GOP, and then you have a Republican governor. And I think the last governor of Arkansas did not sign an anti, you know, they tried to pass this previously. Yeah. He did not sign it. But I see Sarah Huckabee Sanders signing that. So
yeah.
Beautiful.
Just like,
it just doesn't make any sense because, like, I mean, when a female presenting individual is walking to the bathroom, how the fuck do you know? They're signing stupid stuff just to be like, yeah, we did it. Like, they have no clue what they're doing.
Doing it to protect young girls.
Yeah, I would.
You mean from the priests?
From the priests.
I mean.
From their church leaders?
Still not a drag queen.
I mean, you know.
As what I see, there's someone that I follow on Twitter that has created a thread that anytime there's a news article about a priest or you know, pastor or whatever that is abusing children or everything, it's or somehow state representatives as well. Uh-huh. They retweet it, and almost every single day he's retweeting like one or two articles. It's like, and it's always quote tweet, still not a drag queen. Put it on the thread, still not a drag queen. It just keeps going and going, and I'm like, this is amazing. Doing the Lord's work.
The Lord's work. And also sad trans news, just to, you know, make it really dark and sad. There was actually a transgender pioneer, Georgina Beyer, out of New Zealand. She was the first openly transgender member of any parliament in the world, and an LGBTQ rights activist. She was a transgender woman, but also a sex worker at one point in her life, and a drag queen. And she won parliament in 1999, and sadly she died recently. So. Which is a big lot. I mean, you've got this pioneer, especially like now it's just kind of like, oh man, like with all these anti-trans laws that are being proposed, like for, you know, someone like, you look to someone like Georgina Beyer and you're like, oh, at least we have hope. And then to see her pass, and she was fairly young. I think it was in her 60s. Apparently she had a kidney failure. She was 65. She had kidney disease. And so, I mean, and she was even recognized by the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, back in 2020 for her support of the LGBTQ community. So, a big deal.
You know? That is a big deal.
And so sad that she passed. Y'all got any good news?
That's what I'm literally looking like.
Like, the Oscars are happening this week.
Well, that's bad news because Lady Gaga's not performing.
Yeah, why isn't she performing?
Because she's filming Joker,
which is somehow a musical.
It's a musical?
Joker 2.
It's going to have musical numbers. Joaquin Phoenix? Well, because he sang for, what is that show? The Walk the Line, Black Walk, Walk the Line. What? Walk the Line. Run, Bernie, Ring of Fire.
Johnny Cash?
Yeah, when he played, he sang there.
Okay.
We're talking about his singing. Man.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, I have. But
anywho.
But
it was on topic.
Is it?
Celebrate my on topic. They don't
but
have
then why anybody. Does that mean that Joker 2 should be a musical? Because Joker 1.
But that's two singers that have been in musicals. Yeah. So okay, it could work.
No, it's but not like you're not understanding why I'm confused. I'm confused why it's a musical to begin with. I don't give a shit that he can sing.
Why is any musical a musical?
Well, the first movie was not a musical.
To sing to get over the Alps.
Okay, but was there a first Sound of Music where everything was dead serious the entire time?
It was called
talking
the war.
About mental illness. Who?
It was called The War.
But no, that happened during the Sound of Music.
So you're gonna watch the Oscars?
I am gonna watch it.
Is that a big thing for you?
I do.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah,
it's either this weekend or next weekend. I have to look.
I thought it was this weekend. Am I off topic?
When are the Oscars 2023? It is March 12th.
Yeah, today. When it's being released.
Yeah.
I watched it last year with the slaps. I mean, I always like to sit
the
and
slaps.
Watch.
Yep. Hey, that show slapped.
I love me. You know what? This is my Super Bowl season. When
why didn't you watch the Super Bowl?
I watched the Rihanna concert.
Yes, correct.
I didn't watch the football part.
It had some,
the football part.
But she's going to be at the Oscars. Part. So there you go.
Rihanna?
Yeah. Because her song is nominated. Oh. So she's going to perform it.
Was this a big deal? Your generation doesn't really watch this, Chris.
I don't think like, so. Awards,
you,
I don't.
You younger.
The Gen Zs are very anti award shows. Which I think is very funny.
Yeah, but you millennials don't watch it really either. Your younger millennials don't watch it.
Well, I mean, you're also talking to someone who doesn't watch much of anything. But yes.
Yeah, but there's even I don't watch a lot. I love an award show.
Me too.
I'm an award show gay.
A musical number, the dresses.
Yeah, the divas.
I wake up the next morning and I get the skim and it tells me.
Yeah, but you're not watching the show. You're not sitting in anticipation. You're not sitting like, there. Yes, she finally won. Exactly. Yay.
No, because I don't bond with the people. Like, I don't give a shit about them. What? Oh, I'm just saying. Like, hey, look at those rich people winning rich stuff. While I'm making, well, I used to be making $30,000 a year. Woo! You got it. Hey, share the wealth. I don't know. That's my thought. Look at them getting richer.
But I don't think the youngsters watch it anymore.
Yeah, why not?
My friend Jamie is very obsessed
just
with
them. Because they're making.
I think it's because it's still viewed as a old school kind of thing. Which, I mean, in some senses it is. I mean, it's pretty much run by, slowly it's getting over, but like the main voting systems are still all.
Yeah, and then it's, you know, come under fire so much in the past white men. 10 years about. You know, Oscar's so white, and you know, Oscar's yeah. so straight. I mean,
it's slowly, but at the same time, it can only change as fast as culture changes. So it's not like, I mean, you can't ask for the Oscars to be more queer when the movies out there are not reflective of that. Like, what are you going to nominate when there's nothing out there?
They have Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix singing. What do you mean not gay?
You could watch Bros.
There you go.
You know, we still didn't talk about that.
Yes, we did.
Well, we briefly did, and I didn't get
that. We have brought it up several times.
I know. All right, go ahead.
What would you like to talk about with that movie?
Did I talk about it? Did I say what I want to say?
I don't know. What do you want to say? You didn't like it?
I was disappointed for the first half.
You said that.
Okay, then I did say that. Did I say why? Mm-mm. I don't remember.
It was a cheesy rom-com, and I loved
it. But I felt it was, like, so, like... Like, Billy Eichner built it as, like, oh, it's, you know, like, all gay cat, it's romance. But it wasn't that. It just ended up being, like, the first half was, like, a big, like, stereotype joke. Like, there was a lot of just, like, we could have had that in, like, Adam Sandler movie. Like, the jokes were just very, okay, I get it, it's funny, but, like, okay, another Grindr joke, 45 minutes in, okay. Okay, I get it. Oh, a shallow gay joke.
It felt like an early 2000s
exactly. Comedy. But then it hit its stride when it actually had like a little bit more story. So the second half was much better. But for the first half, I was disappointed. I was like, this is not... I was expecting like one of them Hallmark movies. It was supposed to be like the rom-com. This was no Jennifer Lopez cheesy. Maid of Manhattan stuff.
We love a good, you know, romp-camp.
I thought it was campy. I thought it was cute.
It was not camp at all.
Oh my gosh.
I was also very attracted to the other guy, so. You know?
Mm. Oh. Anyway, but it was okay. Yep. It started off slow.
Did you see this Attitude Mag thing that I sent you? And I got no response, Dusty. So
you got left on red.
No, I did. I was busy. I didn't see it.
Like, you have a job, and during the day.
Today he's texting me, and I'm like, hey, I didn't do my research yet. And he's like, well, I'm doing it right now at work. And I'm like, what the?
Again.
I've been busy. We have the exact same job. What are you doing?
But they were just saying, like, the women we love in the movies, the characters, like Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada, Meryl Streep. What do you say? A thumbs up?
Prada. And you mean Meryl Streep or Devil's Wears Prada? Or both. Miranda Priestly?
Miranda Priestly.
I support her. I support women's rights, and I also support women's wrongs.
Well, I thought like whoever put this together was very didn't go all the way. Like it was very, it had to be someone in their late 20s, early 30s. They had Tanya from The White Lotus.
Well, of course, because that's topical.
What is this list?
This is gay icons, female characters that the gays love.
International Women's Day.
Yes. Okay. So you got Miranda Priestly. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
Tanya.
Okay, White Lotus.
Both seasons. Buffy. I think that's a very big gays love them some Buffy.
I don't know.
Buffy the Vampire
Slayer? Yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Buffy is there?
Fuck if I know.
Well, you're too young. Then you got Lucille Bluth.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
See, I don't know a ton of her.
Uh-huh. From Arrested
Development. Elektra from Pose.
What would a banana cost? $10?
Megan.
Oh, yes. She's a new recent one.
I love it. We just watched that. Yeah. Watch the uncut version.
Storm.
Storm. Sorry. Thank you.
Oh, yes. She's a massive gay icon. She's apparently a
but I don't know why I was not.
Lesbian.
Is Storm? She a lesbian?
Yeah. From X-Men?
Yeah. I was not a big X-Men person.
Yeah. What? But from what I understand, she's like a butch lesbian. And also, Halle Berry played her hot.
But Halle Berry's not a lesbian.
No, but she's apparently also a gay icon too somehow.
Is she?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. The gays love her on Twitter.
What about
Eddie? Really? And she loves them back.
Eddie and Patsy.
Eddie and Patsy from AbFab. Yeah, oh my god, he's too young. I think they're hilarious.
And the best selection.
The best selection is Beyonce's character Sharon Charles in what's the name?
Obsessed.
Obsessed, thank you.
Say what?
She goes batshit crazy. You don't
no one knows that.
No.
It was funny to read the comments. Okay. Like y'all just put her Beyonce. In there. Like, no one's ever
they just
seen
wanted
that
to put they Beyonce, put in there. Yeah.
It's okay, Beyonce. It was not
that you're gonna say Sasha it's Pierce. Cult, so I was like, ew, no, that's a very
it's cult classic.
Movie.
It's not it was not nobody expected. It to be her.
I agree with most of those.
I think most of them are good. I think they probably could have. I think they tried to span it out against a lot of time.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Because there was a lot of like 80s, 90s, you know, so I feel.
They did some classic TV too. They did Wilhelmina Slater from Ugly Betty.
Oh,
Vanessa,
God.
Vanessa Williams.
She was good.
I don't know. I don't know her. I mean, I know Vanessa
Williams. I remember her from when I was in high school.
I don't remember. I never saw Ugly Betty.
I only watched a little bit. I didn't watch all of it. I did.
Moira Rose.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
From Schitt's Creek, Catherine.
Leslie Norp.
Santana Lopez.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
R.I.P.
I can see that, yeah. Oh,
what was her name?
Naya Rivera.
Okay. I'm just going to echo you when you say it.
Samantha Jones from Sex and the City.
You know, I would question that though.
Just because she's a slut?
But I would question why gays would like her so much, because I feel like
she would have voted for Trump.
Yeah, she's. I would not see her as a big. I think if gays are going to be somebody, they're going to vote for like, Charlotte because of all the fashion, or Carrie just because she's a mess.
I would say the one who
Miranda, the one who's actually gay.
No.
Cynthia Nixon, the redhead lesbian.
No, the one that's never mind.
Carrie Bradshaw.
Are you having a stroke? What?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay, thank you. I would think it would be that, but I don't know, Samantha.
Why didn't I get her name?
That's controversial. I don't think she would be a gay icon.
No.
Regina George?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course.
Obviously. That's, I'm surprised she was not on the original list.
What about Brenda Meeks?
Who?
Oh, come on.
Brenda Song.
Wait.
No, Brenda Meeks from Scary Movie.
Okay, that's...
Oh, yes.
From
Scary Movie.
Scary Movie. The Scary Movie franchise.
Oh, okay, that one. Okay, yes. Never mind.
Cindy!
Whoa, that was like surround sound. Okay, yes.
Cindy's a bone.
Just watching Shakespeare in love.
This bitch is messing up my flows.
The incomparable Karen Walker.
Oh, yes.
I think so, yes.
Also a good
you
one.
Think so? What do you mean you think
so? I think so. Yeah.
There's just 1,000%. There's no thinking about this.
I'm not opposed to that one.
I'm not opposed to that. That should be an emphatic
1,000%. Well, again,
the gays love her.
Karen Walker.
Uh-huh. I honestly am surprised though that she is still as. I think it's only because she's quippy and like because that show I think has kind of fallen out of.
Watch it
favor.
Again. Watch it again.
Oh, I love it. No, I mean, but like with now at like Chris's.
Nope. Watch it again.
No, I think it just came back because it redid
like,
its
the
thing.
Reboot. No, if you go watch the old classic, I think it holds up.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm going to have to because it is one of those shows I want to go back to.
Binge it. Kelly Kapoor.
From The Office?
Yep.
Yeah.
Megan.
Played by Mindy.
Mindy. Kelly. Yep.
Is it Cal? Or is it Kelly?
Kaylin.
Y'all fine?
Oh, I don't know. I'm
just thumbs up. Yeah, I mean, she's chaotic. I don't know that she's a gay icon.
I don't know. I don't agree with chaotic. That one. Why is she? I don't know. Why?
First of all, one question. How dare you?
They had all these TV shows, and then all of a sudden they throw in Sue Ann Maud Ellington. from Ma, which is an Academy Award winner.
Oh,
from
yes,
the movie Ma.
Ma. I don't know why she's Octavia a gay
Spencer?
Icon.
Octavia Thank Spencer.
You. Coming through. I don't know why she would be a gay icon either.
Ma, chaotic.
Chaotic. What are our themes? No wonder they're coming for us.
I'm just telling you.
So either we like them bitchy or killing people.
Correct.
Okay.
What the fuck?
I mean, if you think about like a drag queen, they're all going to impersonate those girls.
Well, anyway, look at Megan.
I was just, yeah, no.
She just awkwardly danced in a hallway and then she somehow became a gay icon.
Yeah. And then
overnight.
And then every drag queen's dressing like her. Mm-hmm. Hey, and do it while you can because Tennessee, they banned it. Banned it. Banned it.
That is a law. While I was writing earlier, I wrote it as a bill. I was like, no, this is not a bill anymore. It is a law.
It is law.
State law.
It's officially. So still surprising to me that it's, I don't see that's how I am.
And like they cannot display, like this once again is a law that, it, I mean, similar how to like Florida's don't say gay bill. Because like, they say that you cannot, in a public setting where children may be present, you cannot have this.
Topless dancers, go-go dancers, exotic dancers, strippers.
So what about
male or female impersonators? Correct. Are similar.
So then what about football games with cheerleaders?
Or you look at Broadway performances. Broadway literally cannot perform in the state of Tennessee unless, I mean,
or Hooters.
Actors and actresses are performing as males and females on stage all the fucking time.
Or Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Tennessee lieutenant governor who's...
Oh, yes. Randy McNally.
Uh-huh.
Who is sliding into them DMs with that little twink.
He's trying to slide in between butt cheeks.
What gets me, too, is he's 79. Allegedly. He's 79. No, well, like, okay, allegedly.
No, allegedly.
Oh. Sorry. He's 79, and that it says that the twink guy is saying he's 20, and he says they've been friends online for 3 years. So that puts him at being 17.
That is
That's grooming. He was grooming that old man.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's that, like, no, why is nobody bringing that up? But I just think that's hilarious how many people.
I didn't go deep into the story. I just saw all the comments.
Well, neither did he. He just stayed on surface level of the comments.
Yeah, he just slid into the DMs. He didn't slide into anything else.
Uh-huh. So I just think it's just another one that's.
He commented, and the feedback from his reps were he comments on many of his constituents.
Which I can guarantee you that little twink boy is not his constituent.
He said he doesn't care regardless of gender,
I know!
Race, so like sexual orientation.
Their response was
sexual
just
identity,
like,
I think is what the term.
So he's leaving, he does not do well with using emojis because there was, I guess, there's a lot of random weird emojis that can be in.
That was the thing. Uses, was like, his only fault is that he may sometimes use the wrong emoji.
Yeah, like he leaves like the heart emoji on pictures or like just the heart.
Or lots of flames and like
and
which is what he did. Which is what he did on this. This twink.
I love it.
So you got a lieutenant governor who is, I guess, presumably on board with this anti-drag bill, who then has been commenting on a young twink, so a young, skinny, gay boy.
For the last
3 years. Hey, it was during COVID. What else are you going to do?
You just comment on people's slutty pictures, right?
I don't know. Whatever.
I think it's hilarious. That and I also was like wondering something. I wanted to read more when I actually have time. Maybe this week is like the the history of like drag and like, because they're like, you know, I'm sure you saw like movies that can't be shown in Tennessee anymore. You know, like, but like how drag has been okay, you know, in like regular culture as long as it was doing it for. Comedy, not for, you know,
making fun of drag,
but even not even making fun of drag, just like, well, I guess poking fun at at cross dressing, my little air finger quotes.
Well, I mean, like white show, chicks, and you know, anything Tyler Perry has done,
anything
like
Martin MASH, the show MASH had a cross dressing character. I mean, that was in like the 70s and the 80s,
but these drag queens have most of them, not all of them. A lot of them, it's been camp. It's been comedy. It's all these women that we talked about just a bit ago of like iconic characters. It's drag queens are impersonating these women even to like the thousandth degree, and so and getting some coins for it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just silly, because and these people show up to these, like, straight conservative people show up to these shows and are entertained by these. You know, look at with Carrie Lake, who's the ran for governor in Arizona. Like, prior to all of this,
she,
like,
had drag queens hired at her house for a private party,
and which her daughter apparently was there. Uh-huh. So it's just, I don't know. It's a way to rile up uninformed voters. Mm. I guess it really is.
It's a hot button. It's their hot button topic issue. Gay marriage has already passed ish and made it through the Supreme Court. So now they're like, well, what's the next thing we can target? What's another minority that we can get everyone riled up at that we can focus on while the country falls apart?
Yeah, and it's like Tootsie Pop. You know, I don't know.
What'd you call me?
Literally before you were born. Tootsie, the movie with Dustin Hoffman. He won a Golden Globe for being a, you know, he won a BAFTA.
Yeah,
the movie was nominated. I mean, so, but that's like that's a history now that's, and so here we are saying now that's, so where do you,
it's
how just, do you deal with all that?
It's a way that the Conservative Party has again tried to rile up some uninformed voters, because you have plenty of people that are rabid, like, how dare they do this to our children? Like,
yeah,
it's like
that's without a lick of fucking evidence.
And then they're screwing up, like, from the there are videos out there that are circulating that are manufactured, right? So they're showing drag performers mm-hmm. doing some seductive moves in front of children, but that's all apparently manufactured video footage.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's so people are trying to come for people, drag queens, trans people, and I think even the broader LGBTQ+ community, as we've seen through violence and various gay bars over the years. So I don't know. It's a scary time.
Yeah, I mean, it's even scarier because, I mean, for example, here in Houston, there was a major protest that came to Hamburger Mary's recently. I might have already touched on this briefly, but we had counter-protesters that showed up in with pink armbands and assault rifles because, you know, they're able to open carry. And so they were standing up front of Hamburger Mary's to protect people. So then all the protesters were pissed off. It's like, why'd you bring guns here, blah, blah. And it's like, because you did
blow up our stuff.
Exactly. So like, of course we're protecting shit.
There were MMA fighters, I think, in West Virginia recently that were going to protect the drag
I do have
shows.
Good trans news. I remember to say this. So you went, we could, in this, the Minnesota governor just made the state a refuge for gender affirming care. So if a minor or a person is feeling persecuted or not safe or can't get the access to what they need, apparently he is working on getting Minnesota a haven. If they can go there, they can get it. They can be so.
All right, Minnesota. Way to go. Do the thing.
Minnesota.
Minnesota do the thing?
Minnesota did the
Angela
thing.
Bassett did.
Angela Bassett did the thing. But
and if
Angela
you,
Minnesota does too.
And if you.
I say it. Stop looking over that direction. Makes me think there's somebody there.
That's fine. Anyways. What Minnesota? Doing? Nothing.
I don't know. Because I say that Angela Bassett. That and I'm because the capybara thing from TikTok is stuck in my head all the time. Anyway, so.
The what?
The capybara thing.
Don't know her.
That's an animal.
Capybara.
What is that from?
No idea. On TikTok. It's a song. They're an animal. They're basically just a large rat. But they're
very
super
large.
Cute.
They're larger than both of your dogs combined.
Super cute.
Oh, well, speaking of super cute, we had little Morky come and visit. Well, Kendall, you know, a version one of the show, and his husband Ben of Ben Wynn Studios here where we record. They went to Mexico, and we got to take care of the little Morky.
Oh, yay!
We've talked about Morky on this podcast several times, and oh little Morky, she's old. She's got diabetes. She got a tumor.
A tumor.
Like multiple tumors. Oh. But she's trying her best. She can't even bark the same way. She used to bark like now she's like she used to be
her
loud.
Her voice is going out too.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, we got our little Coco, which Spence and I are like, is he a himbo? Everyone loves him and he just likes to play, and I'm like, he's not a himbo because he's
dumb
smart.
And pretty.
No, he's pretty, but he's smart. He's not dumb. We've had dumb dogs. I you mean, think he's dumb?
Him do watching behind him us,
pump himself in circles on the floor.
Does well, that make you dumb, though? Pump himself
in circles.
Like you haven't spent a Saturday doing that? Like, hey, Chris, can you come over? Well, you know.
I'm so, super busy. You know,
as you're trying to figure out what sort of crust you have on your computer. Come for my dog. You come for my dog. Well, you are. Those are fighting words.
You're the one who called him a himbo. We're disagreeing.
I was saying, I don't think he's a himbo. He was bringing it up to
debate.
I was like,
oh.
And we said yes, debating. And he said no.
Because Morky was like trying to play with him too and trying to hump him. I mean, he's a fun dog.
He's a himbo.
But I don't think he's a himbo. Oh, okay. I think he's just like a, hey, let's have fun. Like a party, but not a himbo.
Isn't like, that kind of not, like a himbo?
But no, because a himbo he's is like kind of dumb. Frat
dog.
Like,
okay. He's a frat dog?
No, well, he's no, not a frat dog. He's just well, a cool what's... dude. Like, he's who's the character that a himbo like, but not a himbo?
I don't know.
Come on. Someone who's a male, because Coco's a male.
Okay.
He identifies as male. His pronouns are he, him, his.
Did you assume his gender?
No, I see his gender. What is it? Who's a fun, like, is Ryan Gosling a himbo?
Is he fun? I don't know.
I don't know. He plays fun characters.
I'm trying to do
what, a Bradley Cooper?
Oh, okay.
Is that a himbo?
Okay, there you go.
He has played a himbo many a times.
He's a Bradley Cooper. But is he a himbo? No, probably not.
I believe Owen that he's
Wilson.
A smart...
Oh, no, Owen Wilson is.
No, he's just dumb. Just kidding, I don't know him.
I know you don't. You don't know half of what
who's a himbo? No, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, yes, that's a good himbo.
Do you think he's Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
They have the hair.
Get out of
he's
here.
He's suave, but also very dumb.
He's not dumb.
Oh.
Okay. I think he's... Where are we? Is he over there?
Like, he's a smart dog.
Don't keep looking. There's nobody there.
He's a smart dog. That's all I got to say. Call my dog a himbo. Come for me.
You're so upset by this.
I love it.
Well, again, Spence and I have this debate often. He's like, oh, he's a himbo. I'm like, he's not a himbo. He's a berry. He's so a smart dog.
You're just super defensive right now because everyone is against you.
No.
No, no, no.
Because I'm right, so I don't have to be defensive.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's anyways. More of a Bradley Cooper than a...
I would agree.
Than an Ashton... Is it Ashton Kutcher?
Ashton Kutcher.
I don't know. But if you squint, jump up and down and twirl, you can see that Pride is close, but still a few months away. In the meantime, you can still support LGBTQ+ businesses. And where can you find out about LGBTQ+ businesses? The Greater Houston LGBT Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber is the organization that champions the LGBTQ+ and allied business community. You can find a list of LGBTQ+ businesses and learn more about the Chamber at HoustonLGBTChamber.com. So learn more about how you can celebrate and support the LGBTQ+ owned and allied business community at HoustonLGBTChamber.com.
Yay!
Speaking of himbos, we want to talk about Pedro.
Oh, I'd love to talk about Daddy. Okay. Oh. Yeah, so I figured that Pedro Pascal... What? No, it's not you.
You're not a daddy.
You're not a daddy. Just to be clear.
You're a father,
but not a daddy. Yeah.
Yikes.
There's
came
many,
for you.
She's just off the cuff, too. Throwing bullets at us today.
many interviews of Pedro Pascal looking directly into... like. To promote his show, The Last of Us, and he looks in the camera and says, I'm a daddy. I'm your daddy now. And let me tell you, when he does that, I'm like, whoa, okay. So who the fuck is Pedro Pascal? So let's find out. Let's talk about it, because he's come about very recently, and so I want to tell you all of his backstory. So Jose Pedro Balmaceda Pascal was born April 2nd of 1975. He is a Chilean-born American actor, and you may have seen him recently on Instagram or TikTok calling himself Daddy and wondering, who is this man, and why is he suddenly Daddy, and where did he come from? So let me break that down for you. He was born in Santiago to prominent parents in their community. He has an older sister, a younger brother, and a younger sister named Lux, who is an actress and a transgender activist. Two different things. actress, activist. So according to Pedro, his parents were devout followers of Allende, which was a socialist Chilean president at the time. In his childhood. So they were very active in resistant groups against the Pinochet dictatorship.
Pinochet. Because Pinochet could be... I think someone could see...
I don't know. I don't speak that language, so I don't know.
You're bordering on an inappropriate word.
He always walks the line.
So we'll say Pinochet.
I don't think it's even better. So because of this, when he was 9 months old, his family moved to Venezuela at the time. They went to the Venezuelan embassy in Santiago, where they were later granted political asylum in Denmark. They ultimately moved to the United States, where he was raised in Orange County, California, as well as San Antonio, Texas. Oh. So by the time he was 8, his family was able to take regular trips back to Chile to visit his 34 cousins.
Holy shit. Wait, he hung out in San Antonio, Texas?
Yeah.
34 cousins.
Yeah, he apparently... He did swimming competitions when he was young and went to state championships at the age of 11 in Texas. So, but he ultimately stopped swimming competitively because then he got into drama.
Drama.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't do that nowadays? Who else is gay? So he studied acting at the Orange County School of the Arts, graduating in 1993 before moving to New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, where he graduated in 1997. His father was indicted by a federal grand jury in 1995 in relation to events at a fertility clinic that he ran with two other men. I didn't look any further into that. I was like, ooh, this sounds creepy but juicy. Woo! What's going on?
What was he indicted for?
I don't know. But I was like, ooh, that is some
spicy. It's scandalo.
So his father, mother, and two youngest siblings then returned to Chile. He says that his father did nothing wrong. He still defends that fact.
Okay.
So then his mother committed suicide in 1999, and following her death, he began using her surname professionally, both in honor of her and because he said that Americans had difficulty pronouncing his surname of Balmaceda. And it was like, Pascal is easier, okay? So Pedro started his career mostly taking on small roles in film and television. This went on for like 20 years. He started like being quite... I mean, started his career in... What was it? Essentially 1997, whenever he graduated. And so that went on for almost 20 years. He took on small parts in shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Whoa!
Oh my
God. We just talked about it. The Good Wife, Homeland, The Mentalist, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Law and Order SVU, and Graceland. So he's been in shows that I recognize all of these names. I haven't watched pretty much any of them. But... he took on small parts in each of these for, I mean, a long time. And it wasn't until June of 2013 that he was given a big break. He was cast as Oberyn Martell in the fourth season of the HBO series Game of Thrones. So Pascal had stated that he was a huge fan of Game of Thrones before even being cast as Oberyn and was ecstatic to join. So for those of you that have not ever watched Game of Thrones, first of all, Game of Thrones is highly sexual. There's all sorts of gay stuff that goes on in there. So that could really be a topic of itself. But Oberyn is a highly sexually fluid and a heartthrob of a character from a southern land called Dorne that is largely considered to be exotic and full of people who all just love on each other, to put it lightly. I mean, they're all just like, yeah. And like he has a wife in this... In his character as a wife, but he is caught like sleeping around with women and men as well. And they bring it to his wife, and she's like, yeah, he does that. I do it with him too. And it's like, whoa, this is a scandalo. And so like the throne is all worried. He's apparently like a highly skilled warrior, and they're apparently trying to fight for the throne and all this other stuff. And then he gets murdered.
Spoiler alert.
Because surprise, this has been out. At least this season has been out for almost 10 years. So
are you going to say how he dies?
Ooh. You got his head smashed in.
Literally with hands.
His beautiful.
Like a grape.
Game of Thrones, y'all.
I watched through season 5, yeah.
I watched it all.
And did you like it?
I liked it. Daenerys is my favorite. And I think that she still deserves the throne.
So which one's Daenerys?
She's the queen of dragons, mother of dragons.
The blonde. Like the.
Yeah, what's her name? Amelia Clark? There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not.
Oh, I'm on a fire with names tonight.
Spence and I just binged season 3 of All-Stars from RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And Shangela's whole...
Daenerys, mother of dragons. Yeah,
was shtick in her confessionals was that.
I love that. And she stuck to that. She held on to that for dear life.
I mean, I was like, you could have done without that. But, you know, she stuck to it. She was committed. I actually like Shangela better after watching that whole season. Because before I was like, I always liked her as a drag queen. But I would always thought the clips I would see in her confessionals, I was like, ooh, she's shady. But she was really authentic. And she, I really liked that. And she should have been. She was robbed. She was robbed.
Shangela was robbed. I agree
completely. Wait. We've talked about this before. Season
3 All-Stars, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bindla Krim was a true winner. We all know that. But she quit, so doesn't really count. But Shangela was robbed.
No, I agree with the winner.
Trixie Martell?
Yes.
Mm. Anyways,
that's who I wanted to win from the get-go.
So that's Oberyn. He was apparently, that was his big breakthrough that everyone was like, whoa, who is this
Where
man?
Have you been?
Especially because he was given such like a slutty character that everyone was like, oh, okay. And he was shirtless pretty much the entire time, and he's out there looking fine as hell. So then in 2015, the DEA comes knocking, mama, because Pascal was cast in a role as a USDA DEA agent called Javier Pena in the hit Netflix original show Narcos. Never seen it.
Oh, me neither, but I've seen it. It's always
heard that many people were very invested in it. So he played a very prominent character. So between 2015 and 2019.
Oh, so that was the DA. Oh, there was the DA. Didn't really
come. No, I made a joke.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to laugh at it. Exactly. So between 2015 and 2019, he dipped his toes in the directing roles. He produced movies. He had a stint on Broadway. Did a music video with Heidi Klum for Sia. Very interesting kind of assortment of things.
Sia has all kinds of random people in
there. Yeah, exactly. And so then he came about in 2019 in his like biggest role, essentially, because he played the title role, The Mandalorian, which was the first live-action Star Wars television series, which debuted on Disney Plus. The Mandalorian. Yeah,
he was the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
So he. Well, it's the good. Like I it. Like the Mandalorian. It's very good, and the third season just came out. It's very good.
Is he in all of them?
He's the Mandalorian, so yes. The show is about him.
Well, I didn't know if there was like Mandalorian 1, Mandalorian 2. I didn't know what a Mandalorian was, honestly. I didn't know if it was a person, if it was like a ship, a religion. I don't know.
All this
the answer is yes to all of those questions. Oh. It is. This is the way.
All
the truth. That's what they say
all
on,
this
on the
and
show.
He voted for Trump.
Did he really?
I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm just kidding.
I was like, I did not find anything.
You should have seen your face.
So that same year,
just kidding. He didn't. Just kidding. Join us on the podcast.
Join us so you can find out more of our stuff. So he played Maxwell Lord in the DC Extended Universe film Wonder Woman 1984, directed by Patty Jenkins. This film followed, if you followed that, I don't do the DC universe, but if you follow that, I remember it got delayed like 7 times because of the pandemic, which was amazing, because the DC universe is not as good as the Marvel universe, but that's okay. So the film was finally released in theaters and HBO Max on December 25th of 2020. I watched this movie and I do not remember him in this at all.
Me neither.
But apparently he was in it. So in February of 2021, he was cast the lead role of Joel Miller for the HBO adaptation The Last of Us. Pascal is reportedly receiving $600,000 per episode, which is amazing. The Last of Us is an American post-apocalyptic drama television series created by Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann for HBO. It's based on a 2013 video game. That is set in the year 2023, which I think is crazy. It's apparently 20 years into a pandemic caused by a mass fungal infection, which forces its host to transform into zombie-like creatures and then collapses society. He's the lead role. The series follows Joel, which is Pedro Pascal, and who is a smuggler tasked with escorting the teenage Ellie, which is played by Bella Ramsey, across a post-apocalyptic United States. Guest stars include Nico Parker as Joel's daughter, Sarah, Gabrielle Luna as Joel's younger brother, Tommy, Merle Dandridge as the resistance leader, Marlene, and Anna Torv as Joel's smuggler partner, Tessa. The reason why I bring this up is because this also has its own gay twist on things. In one of the episodes, I haven't watched it yet, just Twitter's obsessed with it, and I do need to watch it, but I'm scared of things. So it's very difficult. I don't like zombie things because I get too, my imagination goes crazy.
Well, this is a different kind of zombie, but go on.
But it's still scary. Anyways. So one of the episodes apparently features a very powerful gay love story between Nick Offerman's character and Murray Bartlett's character. I've heard that it's very sad.
Spence cried the whole episode.
Oh, me too. Like ugly crying. Like sob. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like where your throat starts to close and then you can't really make noise getting because you're too tired. And so it just comes out. Exactly. It just comes out of you. You can't control it.
I love that. Spence, babe. It was uncontrollable.
Okay, well, then I apparently need to watch it so that I can maybe get a good cry out, okay? I wanted to kind of associate the two of them because I titled this Pedro Pascal and The Last of Us, but, you know, I didn't go that deep in The Last of Us because it's a new show, so I didn't want to, you know, ruin it for anyone who's watching.
That show's very, it's got lots of homosexual themes because then there's another character
are you going to go into that?
No.
Last of Us. Bella Ramsey's character is...
Non-binary.
No, she is. They are non-binary. The character is a lesbian.
Okay, gotcha.
Bella Ramsey?
Yeah, she's non-binary.
Is non-binary. Yes. And one of the big things about... Did you talk... Are you done with Pascal?
I'm not done with Pascal. I'm done with The Last of Us.
Oh, you're done with The Last of Us?
Yes.
Their character identifies as a girl?
It's a female character, and the female character is a lesbian.
Okay.
And apparently that's good. And I guess it's in keeping with, I don't know, I'm not a gamer.
Well, it's been nominated for some Gays Award.
It is very good. But I guess it
tells. Gamer?
Exactly. I'm neither.
Okay, but then on top of that, the gamer community is all sorts of in a fuss because, first of all, this apparently character in the actual, one of the gay characters that's played by Murray Bartlett, his character is actually in the game and he's dead. He's not actually, like, alive. So it's like, why is he alive? Why did we have to make it gay? You know, and gamers are all like, they're always like,
why do you got to make it gay?
Exactly.
Why got to be a gay thing?
Exactly. But from what I understand, a lot of the gamers are also very in love with this show because it's like, this actually staying pretty close to the story. You know, there has to be some sort of build with other side characters. So you can't just make sure everyone's dead. But like, people are applauding it a lot more than, you know, like The Walking Dead, which is based on comics.
The way
that apparently doesn't ever follow anything.
Yeah, the way it's being told is different. Like every episode is like your overarching plot line. And then like, a good chunk of that is also like a separate side, like the one you talked about is their story, but then like it goes, you know, there's like the current stuff going on. So every episode seems to be like a back character with a character that's not really a main character, like you said, guesting. And I like that way because it's like,
you take a little pit stop along the journey.
Exactly. Correct. It's not like constant, which means it's not constant, like high like energy
run from, because
that would be exhausting.
Exactly. So it's got you've got some storyline. Yeah, it's very
good. Yeah, so apparently that's being applauded. Anyway, so back to Pascal. Speaking of gay things, Pascal is an advocate of LGBTQ plus rights. He's been very vocal about this for quite some time. He has always been very vocal and supportive of his sister Lux Pascal, especially when she came out as transgender, about which he said he has been an important part of this. He has been an important part of this. He is also an artist and has been a guide. He was one of the first to give me the things that formed my identity. So he's been a very loving and supportive brother and has created a safe space for her. So that's very important. So as we talked about when we were getting ready, after the Tennessee drag ban, the day that it was passed into law, And then also taking on comments from the recent CPAC speaker that talked about the extermination of trans people. Pedro came into headlines by posting an inclusive pride flag with a caption saying, "The answer is blown in the wind, hashtag LGBTQIA." That was it for the caption. Mm-hmm. But it received more than 30,000 comments as of this podcast right now, both by negative conservative trolls that are going through and saying, "How dare you," and, you know, all this other stuff, and then also tons of overwhelming support. His comments have left a lot of people confused as to whether he is just, you know, being vocal about supporting, or is he coming out as part of the community? And it's just like a, what did you mean by this? Because, like I said, he's played characters that are very sexually fluid. I mean, he kissed a man on camera for Game of Thrones, and not saying that, you know, a male kissing a man. I mean, Nick Offerman kissed a guy, and he's married to Megan Mullally, so, you know, maybe he's just very in love with Karen Walker. Anyways, so he's a porter of the list. I'm just bringing things together, okay?
Oh, he's the gay that supports her.
Exactly, okay, yeah. No. But he's also his
Lots of gay husband. People support Megan Mullally's character. I do Karen love Walker.
I mean, even her character is Tammy Swanson Swanson in Parks and Rec, also a gay icon.
She's in that show too?
Yes.
Oh, she's a side character in that show.
Literally, there's so many people that are in that show. Anyway,
Pedro Pascal's
not. Pedro,
really not. I don't know. Maybe he did a guest.
Maybe. But either way, whether or not he's part of the community or is just being a very vocal ally, he has been a part of the community and is supporting his non-binary co-star and his trans sister very lovingly and loudly, which is exactly the energy that we as a community need right now. Mm-hmm. Instead of everyone just being like, "Ooh, it's gonna happen," it's like, no, baby, stand up and do something and say something. That's what I saw people on Twitter recently being very like, "Why hasn't RuPaul and, you know, MTV and all this stuff said anything?" And then RuPaul comes out and says, you know,
She actually made that hostage video.
Uh-huh. I was like, okay. In front of an American flag. I'm like, girl, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. What the fuck is you doing?
So that's, I thought it was...
You liked it? It was camp.
I didn't... I think it was finish this and we can talk. Because I'm going to distract. Yeah, I mean, and then I'll have to rein me back in.
That's Pedro Pascal. So unless you have something else to say about Pedro Pascal, I'm good. I've given you all my information.
I did not know that people were questioning what he was trying to do. I always Twitter, always viewed it as a support ally.
Yeah, Twitter was like confused. Great, like, what are we doing, daddy? Like, what's the daddy? Yeah, we just want daddy. Take him in.
I liked RuPaul's comment.
I didn't watch the video.
I didn't think it was
You didn't
bad.
Watch Mother Brews?
No, because whenever RuPaul... Sometimes whenever RuPaul Charles is saying things, I'm just like... I just feel like it's cringe. I mean, mind you, RuPaul does give a good message from what I understand. But I didn't watch it because I was just
what
like...
What you understand. Your whole genesis of getting involved in drag revolves around RuPaul's
Everybody's
franchise.
Does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, then give credit. You millennials, you young folks love to be like, these people don't matter. Like,
not
why?
Me.
They're like cringe. We posted something on LTags the other day. It was Roseanne, right? Flawed woman. And someone...
Message. I'll get back to you. I'm so sorry.
Someone was like, how dare you? Like, let's stop praising...
It might be the same person.
Praising Roseanne as an icon for the gay community. In the 90s, she was an advocate, like an ally. We appreciated that.
Exactly. She was very outspoken. Yeah. And she was one of the ones that pushed for that episode to get aired. Yeah.
And for racial equality as well. So I know she's a...
Right now problematic. Like, and
problematic.
Right now has veered
and has racist tones and homophobic tones and is unapologetic about it. But at the time, in the 90s, she was one of few people... who was sent and had a high profile show to like, hey, and I'm like, look, I'm not a Roseanne fan. Like, this is not me. But I'm like, people are like, we should just stop. I'm like, you weren't around in the 90s, bitch.
But I
like,
also, what I need to comment on this person, I'm sorry. messaged back. Well, they messaged me and I was like, I got to be a good friend. And then I forgot. And then, but also it's like, I see what they're saying, but at the same time, you got to celebrate a victory. A win is a win.
Well, how many times has
two chicks kissing on prime TV some one little kid was like, oh.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what show it was on. It doesn't matter. That's my view. I try to take that, but that's just me being rosy-colored glasses.
No.
Try to make a positive out. Okay, she said all these things now, but we have to forget, even if there was that one moment that we hold on to.
But it's also...
Isn't that a step?
What Thomas talks about on this podcast, and I've heard him say it, I mean, millions of times, that it's... That every part of history is still history. Exactly. So, like, even if it's a part of history that we may not like, we still have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's something that we have to remind ourselves that this is a part of a history. You can't just be like, yeah, gay history is all butterflies and rainbows. No, there were some bad things that happened along the way, too.
It's like RuPaul with fracking, but we still love
it. Yeah, I was about to say. That's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot of it's everything's a purity test. Like, if you're not 100%, like, if you are letting people frack on your land, then you are, you're a
is there
like,
a metaphor in there?
Right. Then you're a bad person. It's like, I mean, she's done all this stuff over here.
Well, that's, I mean, like, it's
complicated.
Human. But that's what, and I was talking to Ben about this, you know, just yesterday probably when it came out, the RuPaul thing. I understand why he wouldn't have said anything right away. Like you said, he's the face of, like, drag for like 90% of, you know, the population that, I mean, all the people, you know, that go to Hamburger Mary's or wherever for their, you know, white girl, what do you call it? Where they go for you get married?
Brunch.
Where you get married.
I love that we've echoed each other.
Bridal shower.
Bachelorette
party. You know, like, that's where they know drag from is RuPaul. You know, so I understand that has to be cultivated because you can't just start shooting from the mouth and everything. So I understand
but he could because, you know, Pedro Pascal is, like, he's got a hit show and he's like, I know he's
going to be. But one could argue, though, that he can only do that because the door's been open. But look what happens. Look what happens to Ellen. I bring it up and I will say this. We always... One seating disaster, and now we hate her. Of course, apparently she's a bitch to all the people who work for her too. But that's aside from the point. Now we have to forget about Ellen and everything she did and all that when she came out on TV just because she sat next to former President Bush.
Yes, apparently.
I mean, okay, yeah, that sucks, but it doesn't, you know, negate history, like you said. Anyway, okay,
all right. I love that.
You're welcome.
I'm proud of you.
Another thing that I'm sure you like about Pedro Pascal Dusty is that he's good friends with Sarah Paulson.
Did you just Google that? Yes,
they're very, very close friends.
Well, so much in an interview. So I was going to
see a picture of the two of them like 20 something years ago, and he looks like.
No, I haven't seen the picture.
He looks like a twink some Republican would hit on.
But in an interview, people were asking him once again, like, oh, so your daddy, like, who would you consider mother or mommy? And he was like, Sarah Paulson. Like, it was Sarah Paulson is mother.
She was on SNL with him. Like, she, like, made a little cameo.
I love that.
It was random. I was like, it's Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson. She's always there. Okay, let me look at this image. I want to see it.
They're very, very young. He is.
Oh my God!
Look at him!
Look at how young he is.
See,
he's kind of baby.
And she looks the same.
No. Yeah, yeah, correct. No. I was gonna say she doesn't look young.
She doesn't age.
He's what, 47 now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He old. He's gonna be 48.
Oh my gosh! Being in your 40s, so old.
I know, right?
Old.
He makes even
old.
Us look
old.
Wow. Daddy Oberon.
That was good.
There we go.
I wonder what it'll be. Let's see what else. So now he's doing The Mandalorian and The Last of Us?
Yeah. Wow. I guess so.
He is busy. He is hustling. And if you need a hustle, someone to give you a little spark, you know, in your business, you can call up our sponsor, Economy Works. If you need help with marketing, you can hire a hustling freelancer. If you need help building a website, hire a freelancer. If you need help with recruiting, you can hire a freelancer from Economy Works. Economy Works believes in the power of connection and wants to connect you with its talent network. The talent network has over 1,000 years of experience and is growing in HR, marketing, IT, accounting, and other specialties. Economy Works. When we work, the economy works. You can find out more at economyworks.com. That's economyworks.com.
Love. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not my cue.
Cha-ching.
Yay.
Cha-ching. Shall we talk about Sandy?
We should. So I'm excited about this because, okay, so I don't know how this came out, but I brought her up a couple I sent her to you because, and then I think I did it because the her birth and date, birth and death dates are very close to what we're doing right now. So anyway, but so she was in a movie that I loved growing up that you have probably never heard of. You might never have heard of it either. That I loved. I watched it all the time when I was little. And then when I heard this thing about her, I was like, oh, so that's when I started. So anyway, Sandy Dennis, she was born April 27th, 1937 in Hastings, Nebraska. I don't know. It's a boxy state. I don't know a lot about those ones. So
boxy.
So
that's one of the least boxy states up there.
It is.
Sis is.
Anywho, she was born up there in the box states. She's got an older brother. Flyover states. And her parents. Viagra states?
Maybe. Flood said flyover.
Oh.
Said maybe that's how she got state. Born. I don't know.
That's how she got born, did. Her parents got divorced when she was in 1967. I couldn't find it. There's not a whole lot about her early. But then, like, she just seemed to have a very regular, I guess, upbringing. She moved to. Oh, I thought you were making a face about
it. I didn't make a face.
Oh, rude. She moved to New York City at 19 after to pursue acting as she was went to the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and she did some little stints in the Lincoln Community Theater, and she right away went into the HB Studios, and that's where she studied and took courses. And I looked at like this, I'm like, what is this place? And I'm glad I did, because it is a place where a lot of very famous people have studied, taken courses, and done that for acting, like Debbie Allen, Stalker Channing, Liza with a Z. So then
Liza. It's Liza.
With a Z. And so she went there, and then she has been hustling. So that was 1955. She graduated from Lincoln High School, did a little bit, then moved to New York City, and then made her TV debut in 1956 on Guiding Light. So soap operas, I know.
Oh, we love a good Guiding Light character. Oh, I
love that.
So, then right away, still, she did that for a little while. And then she got a break as an understudy on Broadway in 1957 in something called The Dark at the Top of the Stairs. And so she did there, and so that was her exposure to Broadway. Ended up liking it. The director of that show was Elia Kazan. I don't know. The name sounds familiar, but I don't know who it is. So anyway, but that's important. So who would later on then in 1961 give her first role in a movie in Splendor in the Grass. Which I don't know, but I know my mom talks about it. But it's Splendor in the Grass. I don't know what it is. I've never seen it. But it has Natalie Wood in it, Warren Beatty. It was 1961. And she ended up winning Or is that later?
She won. Yeah.
She ended up winning.
Oh, you
winning.
Won.
Wait, did she win? She won.
She is winning.
Hush.
It's all about
she's
the
a winner, baby.
She is serving. She is winning.
Serving.
Now you're all thrown out. Anyway, so you threw me
what
off.
What did I do?
Well, because
she won.
She won.
No, oh no. Okay. Gosh. Anyway, so that was her first movie. No, she ends up winning later.
Oh,
so now she's that was her first role. So
she's not a winner.
Pretty big motion picture.
She's a loser.
No, she's not.
She's not
a loser yet. She gets a participant ribbon.
Right now.
So pretty big. I mean, for your first role, pretty big. Natalie Wood, Warren Beatty. It was pretty big. And it's a big movie. It was a very famous movie.
But she didn't win.
But she didn't win anything.
All this big stuff, and she didn't win.
She didn't win it.
She's the biggest loser.
She then, again.
Welcome to this episode of The Biggest Loser.
Her next role on Broadway
Sarah Paulson.
Wait, who was
Sandy Dennis.
There we go. That was close.
And Pedro Pascal.
We just have to think of it. You got to think of a title. Her next Broadway thing was in 1961. I know it's the same time, but it's overlapping. Was Face of a Hero with Jack Lemmon. So remember that name, because we're going to go back to it. She had a very small run. But
isn't he on 30 Rock?
But she. But she got great reviews on that, even though her part was kind of small and it had a very short run, which led to her getting
Donaghy.
Bigger.
No, there we go.
Like,
oh, and Liz Lemma. Okay, I mixed two.
They
things
never married.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were making. Married. I thought you were making a joke.
No, I was kind of
oh, you
being
were
serious.
Being just stupid. Okay.
I was finally just being stupid.
Apparently you're not winning.
I'm coming. I'm coming back. I'm still going on riding on that daddy.
Damn.
Car. She is. She's riding that daddy. You hear her?
Come on, ride that train.
So I think I know what that song
go.
Was about just now as an adult, and that was in high school.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, I didn't realize what that
was.
What that term it means?
A train?
Yes.
What is it?
What is a train? I can't. I'm too innocent.
Come on, Dusty.
Ben had to tell me about it. Like, just like within like the last couple weeks.
Tell you about it.
When
show
one
you.
Person is.
One you know, after the other.
Yeah. Go I ahead. Didn't know that.
You.
All my life. Until just this, like, you maybe all this people. Last month.
You're God fearing.
I know. And I just thought it was a song.
It. It yes.
Well, but I thought it was just a song.
And they're talking about it's a song choo choo.
I know.
What did you think the song "Pull Up to Your Bumper, Baby"?
What is that about?
Butt sex.
Pull up.
Nuh-uh.
Well, I don't know about butt sex.
Oh, speaking of butt, Pedro Pascal. Uh-huh. If we could just backtrack a little bit,
he was on
SNL,
uh-huh.
yes. right? And there was a skit it's gotten lots of views because everyone was breaking character.
Oh, he's, the one with the table?
Yeah.
I love that one.
And so was it Ego Nwadam? What's her? How do we say her last name? Anyways, she's making a crazy mess on the table, and she's just like the table's knocking around, and she's saying
literally
like that,
dying with laughter.
But he's saying like he just says like hi for, and she's like, oh, he's trying to get butt tonight, like, and she says it a couple times because he's just.
We'll watch it later. It's very good.
It is hilarious.
It's very good.
So back to my topic.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, Sherry.
So
Sarah Paulson.
Sherry Harris. No, that was last week. Sandy Duncan.
No,
Sandy.
I don't say Duncan because that's what I keep doing. And no. then I get,
Jack Donaghy.
Jack Lemmon. Oh, we're back to Jack Lemmon.
There we go. Yeah, you full circle. So that was that she got good reviews. Her next Broadway role brought her Broadway fame and her first Tony Award.
Who's
and I know. In 1962, it was called A Thousand Clowns, 428 performances. That's a lot.
That's a like lot. A year.
Yeah. And she won her first Tony. And so now she's a Broadway star. She starts doing some TV guest spots, you know, just like little bit like guest spots like here and there. She won her second Tony.
Wait, she went from winning a Tony to just like doing random guest spots?
Well, I think as she's doing it, she's also branching out into TV.
Got it.
1965, she wins her second Tony for the Broadway play Any Wednesday. 983 performances. That's a lot.
That's like 2 years.
I know.
That's like...
It's almost like you teach math. That's like my job.
It's like 3 years.
And so, it's 3 years.
Well, almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so. Why the first one was not even close to the 1 year.
It was
you
400.
Guys let that one slide.
It was 400.
That's yeah,
close.
But...
Oh, you're right. I guess it's like 100.
360.
But you could do multiple
year and a third.
Shows in a day.
I mean, you could do that with 900 shows, too.
Not in a day.
10 shows a day. Gosh. So... When's the second Tony? Here's the big win. So now she's a winner, baby. And so her second film, she has just won 2 Tonys.
Okay.
Second film, 1966, is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Again, a big name thing. Elizabeth
Taylor
in it. Talor. Thank you. And Richard Burton in it. And she ends up winning the Best Supporting Actress for the Oscar. See, we're coming around.
Oh, Oscar season.
Yes, exactly. See? And so now she is voted... the 18th biggest star in the United States in 1967 after another great movie called... I know... What?
Oh, 18th biggest star.
Congratulations.
Look, it's
you are 18th place.
Such a bitch. I thought it was a cool stat. Apparently not. Sorry,
you
Sandy.
You are 18th See,
you
place.
Gotta use, like, top 20. Like, then it's like, oh, she's on top.
Oh, yeah, top 20. Okay. She got 18th place.
What? Well, it's not like it was 18th out of 19. Maybe it was.
Like,
that was
really
so horrible.
Shit. We were all thinking.
I wasn't thinking it. I was impressed.
Well, good for you.
Well, we know what your standards
are. Well, maybe what if it was 18?
We thought it was Lola standard.
What if? Oh, that's a good name. What if it was 18 out of 1,000? That's good, right?
Yeah, sure. Just saying, top 20.
She was in the top 20.
So,
out of 20.
After some great reviews of several movies, she had her first lead role. In 1967, Up the Down Staircase, she was listed as being in the top 20.
Oh, there we
there
go.
We go. Whoa, that's a lot.
But toward the end of the decade, and she had some splots, kind of stopped acting so much. But here's where I come in. 1970, again with Jack Lemmon.
You were born in the 70s.
No, but I remember this because I watched a lot in the 80s. The Out of Towners, did you ever watch that? See that movie?
Yeah, it's a scary movie, right?
It's not. Oh. It's a comedy. She and they remade it with, shut up. Such a bitch. Next time you do a topic,
you're gonna interrupt me.
I'm gonna make when I know what topic is, I'm gonna make a lot of things to say just to throw you off. I'm gonna make notes. It was remade.
I changed it last minute, like I did today.
It was remade with Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin. There are these two like Midwestern, just basic people that go to New York for his business, and they're just like it's like whatever bad can happen. They end up losing their life, and so it's just like comedy of errors, and it's just very funny, and because they're just these like little bitty nobody in like the big city. It's hilarious. I watched it all the time when I was little. Loved it. It's called The Out of Towners. She was nominated for a Golden Globe Award for that. It was very good, but that's why it caught my eye when her name is, because I knew who she was. So in the 80s, she ended up doing less work because of her health. Her final film was in 1990 with The Indian Runner. I don't know what it's about. I just made note of it because it was the last one.
Sounds like it's got some racial undertones.
It still might be. but it was 1990.
Oh, yeah, the 90s.
You could say things
like that. But back then, we were big on Indian. We had Last of Mohicans and that Indian in the Cupboard movie. There was lots of Indians.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That was the 90s.
That was the 90s.
Or the 80s.
She was really known to be kind of quirky and like odd. She is very meticulous and neurotic. Well, like the way she did things was very kind of like mannered and strict on like the way she did lines with words and sentences. So people kind of criticized her. She was just like, whatever. I'm going to get to this later. She was fine with her style. People criticized like working with her. Like she was just very particular, very kind of difficult to work with, not like being a diva, but just because she was just so like in it and quirky and weird and had her own little ways, but she didn't care. But now on to why we're talking about her. She lived with jazz musician Jerry Mulligan from 1965 to 1974. She became accidentally pregnant, so they pretended to get married, but she ended up having a miscarriage. And, pretending to get married, I guess, because it's the 60s, that's what you do. Even so if you're a famous star.
She accidentally got pregnant, and then
they pretended to get married, but then later on in life, it was found out that they never really got married. They just said that they got married, I guess, for that. She ended up having a miscarriage, broke up with him. Then 1980 to 85, she was in a relationship with Eric Roberts, Julia Roberts' brother.
Oh, yeah.
Ah. He was 20 years younger than her at the time. All right. I know you don't know who he is. That's why I said Julia Roberts.
I don't know who she is either. Do it, Sandy.
They got engaged in 1983, but never married. But going back as early as 1968, her orientation had been described as being a lesbian. She was outed by some like tabloid called Uncensored. They labeled it as a lesbian. And then 20 years after her death, Eric Roberts in an interview said, yes, she was bisexual. It was well known. She did not care. She had many female lovers, many male lovers. Ooh. She was known as saying, it did not matter. She said sometimes she loves the woman's body. She loves the beauty of a woman, but sometimes there's just something a young man you need them for. And so she was just very, yeah.
Look at her.
She was, I know.
She's got a lot in common with the lieutenant governor of Tennessee.
Exactly. She was in DMs left and right. Mm-hmm.
Leaving those young men.
Exactly. Yeah. She was, and so I kind of, the more
I... Wait, am I Sandy Dennis?
Maybe you are.
I think you might be.
I have a younger husband. Oh my gosh.
And so the more I was reading about it, she seemed like very quiet, but like it was just like kind of like we're kind of like women's or what National Women's Day was the other day.
International,
thank you.
Who run the world, girls? And,
that's why they chose her for that.
There, it's exactly
because Beyonce sang a song.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, she's well, I switched topic. I was talking Beyonce. About anything.
Yes, I know about the list.
Okay, okay, I didn't know if you remembered.
I made a reference to it earlier.
Yeah. Anyway, so she just had always said she denied ever being in, like that she ever wanted to get married. Never really said why she was attracted to the men she was with or the people she was just like. Other than the fact they look good, other than that, when they broke up, she was just like, that was fine. She was it gave her more time to focus on herself. She was solitary. She didn't care. She had no plans to get married. No plans for kids. She was just happy being herself. So I feel like it was kind of
a gay icon.
Well, exactly, but like
Sandy Dennis,
exactly, but like in like icon. the '70s, that wasn't very, I don't know. Anyway, but she was just she didn't care what other people thought about her. She was it was like they said, everybody said, oh yeah, she was a lesbian, she was with women, and she just it was just never talked about.
Hmm.
And so look at all she did, the things we didn't know about her. But anyway, she ended up passing away in March 2nd, so right around here, 1992, from ovarian cancer. She was only 54.
Oh my.
But at the time, I thought this was interesting, she had 37 cats.
I thought you can say kids. I was like,
and 3 dogs, and spent $4,000 a month to care for them. That's her pet. Salary. That was her thing.
That's that Tony money, huh? That was that, that like, yeah, Tony award through. Winning money.
But she was also known for being like, they were very well taken care of. Her house was meticulous. She was very proud. So it was just, I just thought that was very interesting. But again, crazy old cat lady.
How do you remember all those cat names, though?
You probably just number them or use multiple names. Like, yeah,
I don't even know.
You know, just season three
cat.
And four.
Yeah, cat, the, everyone's cat.
So I thought that was very interesting. I just thought it was neat. So I heard that she was a lesbian. I was like, oh, really? No.
Gay?
Because I knew her from that. So I went and looked, and that's when I sent Thomas. I said, we need to do her. And it was.
I bet everyone's doing her.
Well, now she's dead. So that's perverted. I just said it. 1992. Ovarian cancer. 54.
I know. I was born.
In 1992?
Yeah.
Like that year? Or no, you were already died, alive?
You died. You were born after she died.
Yeah.
March 2nd, 1992.
June 12th, 1992.
Oh, so see,
you want to tell us where you want to tell us where you live too, right? And you're like your so social true. Security
you credit card number.
Yeah, you just did it yourself.
Dox me.
Dox who?
Dox who?
Dox.
Who's Doc?
What's dox me?
Like, give all my documentation. No, oh, you've never doc. Heard doxing.
No, what's that mean?
Like to reveal someone's personal information.
Really?
You really?
Yeah. Bet.
I did not know that. Yes. I'm just learning so many new things.
Yeah. No cap.
The boys just taught me that the other day too. My sons,
Bettons.
I don't know what that
says.
Is.
No cap, Mr. White just said yas, and I'm like, yeah. Like, I know you just said no cap. What the fuck does that mean?
The boys say that all the time. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
It made me feel. My kids, literally my students no don't say that, so I didn't know that one.
But my children are bright little angels.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah. So that's Sandy Dennis.
I love that.
I love it. I thought she was great.
We love
you. You need to go watch The Out of Towners. It's hilarious.
It's a scary movie.
It's
scary.
Anyways.
So
basically, bisexual icon. Pedro Pascal's character Oberon, bisexual icon.
He could be the Sandy Dennis that we don't know about.
He could be.
He's daddy.
He passes away suddenly, and then Sarah Paulson.
He's wildly bisexual. He's been having sex with men. Yeah, 37.
Sarah Paulson's going to be like, we all knew it.
Yeah, I don't know. He was posting rainbow flags all this time. I don't know what you guys are stupid for.
Don't say. I mean, I don't want to jinx. Like, come on, Pedro. Don't just hang in there. All right.
You just live your life, sir.
Live your life.
Give those straight women some hope.
Oh, I'm surprised he hasn't come out. Like, hey, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, you don't need to come out, but I'm like, just like, oh, I'm no homo, dude, bro. Or, hey.
Homo.
I'm bisexual.
Or yes, homo.
Or I am a bro. Homosexual. I'm trying to think. In any of these movies, has he kissed a woman?
Yeah, this woman right here, this is his wife. They make out a lot on the Game of Thrones. A lot of making out, a lot of sex scenes, a lot of titty grabbing.
Oh,
there were lots of breasts in there were a lot in Game of Thrones. Yeah. I think we might watch that. We need a show.
Yeah,
we started.
I have been thinking about rewatching it for quite some time.
We started watching Modern Family with the children.
Oh my gosh, we started watching that with the kids too.
Did you?
Yeah,
I did a rewatch. It was last year.
The first. We're on the first season, obviously.
It's yes, we are too.
Really?
Did you?
I think I'm on like season six.
Funny it was.
Did you like? I mean, because I liked it, and then I kind of like veered off of it.
I did too. I didn't watch that. Well, because
but I did. I get a little misty eyed when I watch it sometimes. It's
I
a
didn't
little emotional.
I stopped watching it before they had another baby, right?
I think they
discussed it. I don't know if they did. I think they end up actually having one. Wherever I'm at, I think they were talking about it, and then they don't do
like
it.
Like, after they got married, Mitch and Cam got married, I stopped really.
I think that's about when
I'm at.
So I don't know old Lily.
But,
all I know is baby Lily.
Yeah.
And randomly, like, the oldest girl, played by Sarah Hyland, she got pregnant. Like, that was one of, like, the last storylines.
Oh,
like, the big storylines.
I don't know that.
In the show. But yeah, I picked it up because there was, so the girls had like a recital, they were in a theater camp and they had a recital and our oldest was like, she was very nervous and I was like, she's gonna freak out and not want to go on there. She performed, they both did a great job, but there was an episode of Modern Family where Lily, the little girl, was at a recital when they were going to get their second kid. Like, Mitch and Cam were going to get their second kid, but it didn't happen. Spoiler alert, sorry.
For a show that's
yeah.
been around for forever.
But the grandpa, played by Ed O'Neill, was there at the recital, and so he had to go talk to her and like while she was getting ready, because she didn't want to go do her performance, her ballerina performance. And he was like, you know, you got to go out there. She's like, but my daddy's. And so it was this nice little warm, touching moment. And then, you know, they showed her dancing on the stage, but he was dancing with her. And I was like, aww. And so I was going to show, well, only one of the girls saw it because the other one was farting around because that's what they do. But then I was like, because we saw it and our youngest was like really liked doing like watching that show, so that's become our nightly ritual.
Aww.
Now we don't have to do bedtime stories anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, let's just do television.
Just watch TV. Some TV toys.
Just kidding. We spend still watch it, still reads those stories to them at night.
And then we watch Modern Family.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But it motivates them to actually like do things more quickly at night. They're like, oh, we get to watch our show.
Aww. That's cute.
They finally get to watch TV.
Look at that.
Maybe we'll watch Train Spotters. What's this called?
Out of Towners.
Tramp Stamps? No.
Not the trains. We talked about trains already.
Come on, ride that train.
I'm still shocked.
And ride it. Speaking of things I watch all the time, and I'm going to stop talking, is I still watch it. I've watched it probably like, I watch it 5 times a week. It's All Stars 7. What's the one that just came out? The Winners of the Winners.
All Stars 7.
And Jinx Monsoon did that Snatch game.
Is this my camera?
As Judy Garland. Hilarious.
Sandwich.
Broom.
Yes, broom.
She says, Frank Sinatra's penis is so big. I was doing a line of coke and had to pause midway through. That's an inappropriate joke, but
very inappropriate.
It was so good.
She also used that joke twice in that season, but I'm okay with worked.
It worked well because one time it's like the second time she used it, she was like, "I'm
talking about Evie Oddly."
Yeah, but she was saying,
"I had time to stop and reflect and say,
I had time to stop.
And I have become my mother."
Yes.
Which that's like a whole extra joke in itself.
It was
like,
multi-layered. Yes, I loved it.
Multi-layered, multifaceted.
Yes, and that is just like our show.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Insane.
Multi-layered.
Educational.
Multifaceted. Educational.
Queer.
Layered. Queer.
Layered.
Trained.
Trained. A lot of trains.
A lot of trains. We're all thinking it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're rambling. What else you got? Anything else?
No.
Pedro Pascal and Sandy Dennis.
He's daddy.
Daddy and mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, she's giving me a little bit of Sarah Paulson vibes.
She's giving me some mommy vibes.
Yeah. Amazing actress, you know.
Yes.
Fucking everyone.
Award winning. Everyone.
There she has Tonys.
Tony.
And Oscar.
She doesn't have 3 Tonys because then she would have been Tony, which would have been like
that's
the.
That's totally different.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening to our podcast, everyone, and keying with us this week. A special thank you to the guy who keeps our sound in check, Spencer. You can hear Spencer and Chris and their podcast.
Our Spoopy Podcast. That's rspoopypodcast.com. Our Spoopy Podcast on Instagram. Our Spoopy on Twitter. And our Spoop on Facebook. You can always send us an email at rspoopypodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, our little podcast, Let's Talk About Gay Stuff, so you can hear future episodes. You can visit our website at letstalkaboutgaystuff.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Talk About Gay Stuff and on Twitter at Talk Gay Stuff. Why do you want to follow us on social media? Because we give you a daily dose of LGBTQ+ history, even if you don't like it.
You can just sit back and take it.
Yeah. There we go. Put your head, close your eyes, point your heels to Jesus.
And enjoy it.
Think of handbags.
Thank
a
you.
Karen Walker exclusive.
I love her.
And if you don't like us, you can always leave us a review. And if you do like us, you can leave us a review as well. And just hit those 5 stars. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And if you don't want to do it in public, you can drop us a line at letstalkaboutgaystuff@gmail.com. All right. With that, we're here.
We're queer.
Get used to it.